Hi, I'm vaccinated.
And I'm unvaccinated. So why'd you decide to do that?
Because I feel more protected now.
More protected? Why is that?
Because the vaccine is going to stop me from getting COVID.
You sure about that?
Pretty positive, but not positive for COVID.
Well, let's do a little test. Why don't you take this COVID test real quick?
I mean, I guess it's going to make you sleep better at night. Yeah, I think that's faulty.
It says positive.
Only thing I have is a positive attitude because I'm vaccinated.
And a positive test.
Well, I think your test is faulty. So you're a conspiracy theorist.
I am. We didn't think about how to end this one.
No, we didn't.
The Apple, and the scene. Apple Mac and PC ads usually just end with like the logo.
Right. So we just need to like throw a Will and Amel Alive logo on here somewhere.
Yeah, Scott, what are you doing?
Scott, this is all your fault. Guys, welcome to Will and Amel Alive. We are going to get into some vaccine stories. A really interesting one coming off of Trevor Noah's show where he starts to question what's happening around the rhetoric with vaccinations. We're also going to talk about the Australian quarantine camps as well as a developing story when it comes to the parents of the Oxford High School shooting. That's a particularly interesting one. We also got Alec Baldwin going public to talk about the shooting that happened on set of his movie Rust for the first time. So we're going to go through his account of that, some of the backlash that he's gotten in response. Plus, it's Fun Friday, and today we are doing overrated, underrated for our Fun Friday, and we have a special guest to interview on the show today. Now, let's get into something that sort of shocked me this morning when I woke up and I went on Twitter and started looking through all the different news cycles about what people were talking about. Here's a clip of Trevor Noah questioning what is happening right now with vaccinations.
So, on the one hand, almost all the Omicron cases have been mild so far. But on the other hand, the guy who stands to gain millions of dollars from new vaccines says we need new vaccines. If we don't make a new vaccine, this disease could be with us forever. Sorry, I was thinking of something else. Now, look, I'm not saying that the CEO of Moderna is lying. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, I don't think he's the most objective source on this topic.
It's interesting to see a little lefty late night talk show host say something like this.
Yeah, I mean, but this is what the left used to believe in. The left used to be against big business and things like this. Used to, you know, so this is almost a return to form for people on the left.
Yeah, I wonder how much backlash he got for saying this. I can imagine a considerable amount. Although when leftists hear other leftists say the talking points of conservatives, they love them. It's only when a conservative says it that they start to go, no, that's bigoted fascism.
Yeah. Well, it could also be a psyop, and he knows that he's actually sponsored by Pfizer, and he's doing it because this is Moderna.
He's cross-cutting Moderna to get Pfizer money.
Exactly.
Oh, goodness.
So, who knows? I have no idea. But regardless, this is a good thing that he said. It's a good thing to question, and it's good that he is not just a celebrity. He is a left-wing activist, and I don't say that lightly. I mean, he really is. He had Tommy Lahren on his show and other right-wing people to debate with them. I mean, he is definitely a left-wing activist and does not hide the fact. He tweets about things all the time. He's not just a late-night show host. So for him to say something truthful is very good, and we can be proud of that.
Again, yeah.
Always taking everything with a grain of salt, but this is good. It is very good.
Yes, we should always, you know, give kudos and praise where it is necessary and where the topic or the subject matter demands it. And in this case, for once in my life, I'm giving kudos to Trevor Noah for something that he said public on TV.
I know.
Wow.
All the times that I've seen the things that he said and been like, this is absolutely horrible. This is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
He goes to commercial break and it's like, sponsored by Pfizer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. J&J sponsored this episode. That's like what it's like. No, but it's very cool.
Small victory.
Yeah. No, it's very good. Because so many people on the left, you know, again, it's hard. You can have someone even who becomes a leader on the left, and you'll see this from people like, I can assume this might happen with him right now after saying this, is that the left will eat their own and they will come after him. This is why people who are pretty moderate and then get canceled by the left turn to conservatism a lot of the time, because the left will eat their own all of the time. So one of them comes out and says, oh, this is kind of fishy, this is kind of weird. They will eat him and say, you know, you're no longer a leftist. You're no longer a part of our club because you didn't agree with us 100%. So I don't know what the backlash will be. He's a pretty big star, so I don't know.
He is a pretty big star, so I guess we'll see how this plays out over the next couple of days. It seems like none of the stories that we talk about are cut and dry anymore. They always play out over the next week or two. But yeah, he brings up an interesting point, a point that we've been making for a very, very long time, so I'm glad he's finally on the bandwagon, I guess. But for as long as we've been being called conspiracy theorists over this, now when somebody who's a leftist says it, suddenly it's doctrine and it's the Lord's word at this point. But that's a good rule of thumb when it comes to questioning and skepticism is follow the money. And he was smart enough to make that deduction and say, yeah, the guy who's pushing for these vaccinations stands to make, he says millions, I will speculate billions off of this. Yeah, follow the money. And that's where your skepticism should lie when it comes to these things.
Billions and billions of dollars, okay? You know it.
Huge.
They won't even go to the border.
Tremendous.
Okay, and look for all the billions of border crossers, but they'll shoot a vaccine into you.
Oh, that's really good. That's pretty solid. I don't have one of those impressions.
It's not so bad. It's okay.
No, it's not bad. Mine is horrible. No, I'm not even going to try it.
It's tremendous, okay? You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. It's the best.
Yeah, it is the best. You know what else is the best? Getting a bunch of misinformation around what it means to be protected by vaccinations, which is why we did the cold open that we did today, where I was vaccinated and Will was not. And it turns out I'm really no more protected than he is. Here's a study that has come out sort of reviewing the efficacy of these vaccines. And you can go through and look at this. It's in, let me see, Medarvizik. I don't know how to say the name of the website here, but you guys can go and look up this study. The conclusion on this study is what I want to focus on, and this has a direct tie to what Trevor Noah was just talking about. Here's the conclusion on the study. As this field continues to develop, clinicians and public health practitioners should consider vaccinated persons who become infected with SARS-CoV-2 to be no less infectious than unvaccinated persons. These findings are critically important, especially in congregate settings where viral transmission can lead to large outbreaks.
Yeah, so the study that I got yesterday, if you guys listened to the show yesterday, or you follow me on Substack, which I posted about today with Germany, where healthy children, no healthy child in Germany had died between the ages of 5 and 18 since the beginning of the pandemic, 15 months from COVID. That was from MedRx as well. So these guys are putting out the truth on a large scale. They're much better than The Lancet or the AMA, any of these types of people. And so it's really good to see. But the point of this, showing that you can get just as infected when you have the vaccine,
yep,
as when you don't have the vaccine, should basically put into question every single vaccine mandate. Because if it shows that you can still infect people just as much as you can by not having it or having it, then why would you have a mandate in the first place?
Exactly. What does that achieve?
It achieves nothing. I mean, you shouldn't have a mandate in the first place regardless, yep, because if you have a vaccine, you're supposed to be protecting yourself. So you don't, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But now that you're doing this, then you definitely don't need a mandate. I mean, it is ludicrous. And, you know, this isn't the only study about this. There are multiple studies showcasing that the efficacy of these vaccines, because these vaccines essentially work on their mRNA vaccines, which means that they work on a very short time scale to stop infections or to stop the virus. They do not work as a long-term solution for this, mm-hmm, as has been shown multiple times. They only can work on a very small scale. And that is the main problem of these.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how many boosters they come out with
coming years. It is not a vaccine. I mean, it's a gene therapy. That is essentially what this is, mm-hmm, because you are not vaccinating people.
Yep.
When you have a thing that is such a short-term answer, you are not vaccinating people. You are instituting gene therapy. If you want to say it's that, you can go say it's that, but that's not what they're saying. They're saying that this is just imperative to your health. And if you don't have it, then you can't go into a movie theater or a bar or a restaurant or anything like that.
And so many people are misinformed about this. I don't understand why you can't. Well, I do understand why they're not going to be forthright with this information, because it completely debunks and breaks down everything that they've been pushing for this past almost 2 years now. How insane is that to hear? Almost 2 years now this has been going on. And studies like this completely knock out the efficacy of doing vaccine mandates. And it's something that should be talked about because you are no less safe from transmitting and getting COVID. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it is 2 years. It's like basically 2 years since Wuhan, since the gain of function research was leaked out of a lab.
Right.
I'm not allowed to say that. Yeah. Wow, I've already said so many things we should. But it's like the 2 year anniversary from there. So I don't know. You're supposed to have a cake or something, or
maybe we'll have a cake on Will and Alma Live. Although it's gonna be very difficult to find somebody in Los Angeles who will make a cake that says what we want it to say.
Especially a bat cake. A pangolin cake.
Right. Now, one more COVID related story here. We've been constantly following up with Australia. As you know, they've instituted COVID camps where they are going and relocating people against their will, for the most part, into these camps and making them stay for a duration of time once they've been found to be COVID positive or suspected of COVID. Here is a testimony from one of these women who was forced to go to a COVID camp in Australia.
I just waited for someone to come and test me. No one came to test me. The next people who rocked up at my house were two other police officers. They blocked my driveway.
These are actually uniformed police officers, normal police officers.
Yep. So then the police officers blocked my driveway. I walked out and I said, what's going on? Are you guys testing me for COVID? What's happening? They said, no, you're getting taken away and you have no choice. You're going to Howard Springs. You either come with us now, and we'll put you in the back of the divvy van, so, or you can have a choice to get a COVID cab. So, of course, I chose the COVID cab because they said, well, if we're to take you, we're going to hand you a $5,000 fine. So, of course, I didn't want that to happen. So I just said, look, I don't consent to this. I don't understand why I can't just self-isolate at home like a lot of other people are doing. And they just said, we've just been told from higher up where to take you, and that's all that there is.
Wow. Imagine that happening to you.
I thought they said the camps were voluntary.
Yeah.
That's what they were saying. Oh, these are voluntary camps, mate.
This is what they want. This is what the people want, right? Right.
Voluntary camps, apparently. They said you have no choice, or you get fined $5,000.
No, yeah, so even if she said, even if she went to the camp, if they took her in the police car, they're still going to fine her $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
No choice whatsoever. Mm-hmm.
And what a bunch of weak guys in the Australian police who, when she asked them, say, why are you doing this? They say, I don't know. Someone told us to do it, so we're just going to do it. That shows a real lack of strength within the Australian government and police force.
Oh, I mean, totally. To just like, imagine, you know, everybody says, oh, I would never be the person who commits to these atrocities. I would never be the person who commits these transgressions. And I look down from the mountain that I'm on the top of and I spit at the feet of people who do these horrible things. It would be you. It would be you if somebody higher up just said, okay, why don't you go grab that woman and take her to a COVID camp? Just enforce her. Don't give her a choice. And there's been other videos coming out of Australia, one particularly stressful one to watch, of a pregnant woman going through this, and they end up arresting her. It's just crazy to me. And these police officers come in and they're just following orders. They've been told by somebody, well, go get that pregnant woman and relocate her. And that's what they go and do. And it shows you the power dynamic with people. You get a little bit of power and suddenly you are just this invincible person, and you follow orders and you're arresting people and relocating them against their will for a disease that they are not going to die from and that they didn't even know if she had or not. She saw them come up to her house expecting them to test her. They didn't even test her.
Yeah, and she can't self-isolate at home. What they're doing with the police in Australia is they are taking police from certain precincts, like let's say in Sydney or something, and then they are moving them to other neighborhoods or cities. Because when you have police members who are patrolling their own cities, their own people who they know, their own communities, they're going to be much more hesitant to actually, you know, have this sort of tyranny. But when you send them out to places with people who they don't know, mm-hmm. then they're going to be much more obliged to enforce all of this.
Yep.
So that is why they do it. So they go and say, oh, okay, we're going to put you in this other city, this other town, and then you are going to enforce this. So a lot of the police officers in Australia who are now serving in places like that probably aren't even from there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the great strategy, is that is how you dehumanize people. They're dehumanizing all of these people with all of the things they are doing, turning them into, you are no longer a person. You are a germ. You are a germ yep. that has the possibility to infect all of the people around you, and you are a hazard, and we now have to take you to this camp.
It's draconian.
Terrifying.
It is.
Draconian measures.
Yeah, it was. I'll try to find that video of that pregnant woman and share that on my social media, on Instagram or something, because it's just harrowing to watch a police officer just have no regard, no amount of emotion for this woman who is clearly stressed out, pregnant, being forced to leave her house. And it's just ridiculous what is happening and how people can look at that and go, yes, this is justice. This is what should be done. These people are incompassionate to be getting COVID and wanting to stay in their house. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Austria has mandatory vaccines by February 1st in Austria. Not Australia, in Austria, if mm-hmm. you live in Austria, you have to have a vaccine. It is a mandatory vaccine. The European Union is most likely going to be rolling that out for even more European countries. I mean,
what is the punishment on that? Is there, do you know?
Massive fines.
Yeah.
Massive fines every month if you do not have the vaccine. Yeah, I forget what, 5,000? Oh yeah, I forget how that translates to American dollars, or but 5,000 Austrian dollars? I don't know what I don't know what Austrian is. Like, that's me, the euro, right?
Right.
Yeah, 5,000 euros.
Well,
I believe. I don't want to misspeak and say that I know enough about Austrian economics in that way.
Right,
but,
right.
But regardless, there is a fine for if you are not vaccinated living as someone in Austria after February 1st.
You just got to hope that there's enough people who say, no, I'm not going to do it. Rack up the fines, just like businesses did here during the lockdowns when they said they would be fined, you know, for not shutting down and closing their business. Mm-hmm. I just hope people just remain strong in their values and steadfast in their beliefs. And they go, no, give me the fines. Give me another one. Give me another one the month after that. I hope people truly do stick their ground.
Rack up the fines and then start the lawsuits.
Right.
That is how you have to do it. You know, you find like-minded people who are also going through the same thing. You start a class action, or you start, you know, a larger type of lawsuit against these people.
Yep.
So that you can actually do something. Because obviously not everyone has the capabilities to hire a lawyer and sue the government of their country, you know. So you have to do these things in communities.
Yeah.
Find people who are with you. You know, I mean, in Czechoslovakia, when they were having when people were revolting against their government, I mean, what did they do? They got tons of people together to fight the regime that was happening in their country. And when you get all of these people together to fight back, there's nothing they can do at that point. Mm-hmm. The government will crumble. I mean, this is why dictatorships only last for about 70 years. Why tyranny, I mean, basically only ever lasts for about 70 years at most. Because they crumble once the people realize that we can band together and stop this. Sometimes it's violent, sometimes it's peaceful. But if people get together, you can stop it.
Absolutely. And it's all about fighting the narrative and getting the right information out there and questioning what you're told and what people expect of you. Now, we do have a guest on the show today by the name of Corey Yeshua. And he's one of those people who questioned what his beliefs were supposed to be. And we talked to him about that on our show in this interview. Guys, check this out. Guys, we have a super cool guest on the show today. One that I am very, very familiar with, not through knowing him, but through his online content. This is a content creator by the name of Corey Yeshua. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. So awesome to be here.
So apparently this is your first podcast ever, is what you're telling us before the show. How cool is that, man?
Yeah, that's so cool that I'm on PragerU with Will, and I'm like, mm-hmm. this is so dope.
See, amazing. But since it's your first podcast and it's our show, it might be your last, too.
Cancel.
So, yeah, exactly.
Have you?
Oh, man.
I know you because of your TikTok content. I started on TikTok very recently, less than a year ago now. And you were one of the first conservative voices I saw on there. Happened to be a black conservative, which is, I guess, a unique thing. And people really, really go after you for that. When did you get started on social media?
I would say I started on TikTok October of 2020.
Okay.
I believe maybe a little before that. Uh-huh. So a little over a year. Like, it hasn't been that long. You know, I actually had a video that I did on Trump. And mm-hmm. I was talking about how everybody, you know, believes he's a racist because of the media and, you know, it's everywhere. So that one ended up going viral, mm-hmm. right? And I was probably like 2 months in. I wasn't even that long on social media. And that one blew up. And then, yeah. So
was it generally good responses, or were you getting a lot of hate for that video?
I think I got a lot of love, but of course you get the hate, you know, mm-hmm. like, I started getting like death threats and stuff like that. You know, that's normal. I'm sure you know right. all about that. You know,
yeah.
you've experienced that. Like, that's what happens, you know, especially on TikTok. It's like, it's crazy on TikTok.
Yeah. It's like one of the most egregious forms of social media. I want to show people though, because people might be seeing you right now and go, that face looks familiar. And it's probably because of this video that you did with your little one talking about race in America. And I want to show everybody this video. We'll play it for you real quick and see if you recognize Corey from this one.
Daddy teaches you can be anything in this world that you want to be, right? Don't daddy teach you that?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you're black or white or any color.
Doesn't matter if you're black, white, brown, yellow, right?
Black.
And how we treat people is based on who they are and not what color they are.
And if they're nice and smart.
See, this is how children think right here. Critical race theory wants to end that. Not with my children. It's not gonna happen. My baby's gonna know that no matter what she wants to be in life, all she has to do is work hard, and she can become that.
Work hard even though you don't know anyone. You can make friends.
Yeah, you can make friends no matter what color they are. So we need to stop CRT, period, point blank. Children do not see skin color, man. They love everybody. If they're good people, they love them.
We pray for people that are hurt.
So adorable. So what prompted you to go and create this video with your daughter?
Well, I would say that, so there was an incident at my daughter's school where they played a video of, I think it was about segregation, you know, and it was like white only water fountains, right? And she came home and asked me, she said, "Daddy, why weren't the white kids able to play with the black kids?" You know, and this was in first grade.
Wow.
Right. Wow. So it started with that. That was where it started. Right. And then I started looking more into things, and then you start seeing critical race theory pop up everywhere. And I just wanted to voice how I felt about what was going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how I teach my children, right? I don't teach my daughters. I have three daughters, by the way. I don't teach my daughters to see people by their skin color. I teach them to see people by who they are on the inside. And I wanted to express that in a video, you know? Right. So I sat her down. I'm like, "Hey, baby, you want to do this video?" It's like, yeah. So, you know, press record. And that's what happened. That's what came out of it.
Why do you think that people took so strongly to it? Why it went so viral and why so many people were all about it?
I think because a lot of people were feeling that way, right? And I believe it coming from me, you know, being a young black man and having my, you know, little daughter, I think that was something that people needed to know could come from somebody like me. You know what I mean? Like, I think you don't see that a lot, you know, in the media and everywhere. It's all, you know, Black Lives Matter, and it seems like it's for critical race theory, you know, when a lot of people really don't even know what's going on with it and what's in the curriculums and things like that.
Mm.
You know, my mom was actually a teacher for 30 years. She actually just retired. I wasn't talking about that on my social media, but now that she's retired, I can talk about it, and they tried to bring it to her, but all the teachers in our school were like, "No, we're not teaching this." Like,
yeah,
it's crazy. Right. So it was amazing. Yeah.
That is amazing. So were you always on this side of the aisle? Did you always think like this, or were you once a supporter of Black Lives Matter?
No, I never even really thought about Black Lives Matter and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I would say I was more liberal. I mean, I have the, you know, snake bites. I got the two holes in my lip right here. So, yeah, I was in the music industry for a long time. Like, a while, I did music with my brother and my cousin. We were in a group called the LAX Boys.
Mm-hmm.
based out of LA. And yeah, I was more liberal, man. I wasn't really into politics like that though.
Okay.
You know, I started learning about politics, watching people like Thomas Sowell, you know, and Larry Elder and things like that. My uncle was actually the only Republican in our family, you know, and he was looked at as like an outcast. Yeah. But, and that's somebody that I was always told I was like growing up, you know, but I wasn't, we didn't think conservative and things like that and vote Republican. We all voted Democrat. So
what made you go, now's the time, I need to hop online, I need to start making videos and putting this message out there to people?
I don't know. I just seen a lot going on with the media and how they were lying to people. Mm-hmm. Like that really, and even when I watch it now, like to this day, I get fired up before I'm about to get on, you know, and get on TikTok and then post the videos. Like I get fired up when I just see these people blatantly lying and pushing certain narratives. And all this white people are racist, and like it really irks me, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just want to let my voice be heard, right. You know, and show people that, you know, just because you're black, you don't have to be a Democrat. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you're black, you don't have to be a leftist. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be for BLM. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be for Antifa, you know. So yeah,
I think what's cool is that you're just like, you're just a normal dude. You know,
right.
And you have a daughter like so many other people. They're just normal dudes with daughters, and they send their kids to school, and they're just fed up with everything. The exact same thing that you're hearing. That's why I think that it resonates with so many people.
Right.
Because common sense is such a unifying movement when someone hears it just so clearly, especially out of, you know, the mouth of a father and daughter. That's an incredible thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, man. I think people need to see that, you know, people need to see that there are people out there, you know, no matter what color, that they can identify with, you know, and they can say, okay, this guy, you know, he has all the tattoos and all that type of stuff, mm-hmm. but, you know, he thinks this way, he thinks conservatively. So, you know, yeah, man.
Right. I think it's great to challenge the perception of what it means to be a conservative and what it means to be a leftist in this country. My last question for you, something I've dealt with coming out as a conservative on the internet is an immense amount of censorship, particularly on TikTok's platform. Uh-huh. Have you dealt with that at all? And what's the journey there?
Absolutely. Like it's almost every day I post a video, like they're taking it down, they're flagging it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who it is doing it. I don't know if it's the people on there that are reporting me, because they'll say hate speech when they take it down or, you know, something like that. So that's almost every video I put up. I have to go in and, you know, submit the appeal
and all that.
The appeal to get it put back on. So I deal with that on TikTok more than anywhere. Twitter, I don't really get censored on Twitter. Instagram, I do get censored on Instagram for sure. But TikTok is just, man, they are bad. Like it's really bad. You almost can't say anything on TikTok, but you know, I still go for it.
Yeah. China can't stop us.
Right. Nah, absolutely not.
Before the show, we were talking about that. You said you wouldn't be where you were if it wasn't for God.
Right.
And I feel a lot of the same way. I was baptized earlier this year. Life-changing for me.
Wow.
Greatest decision of my life. What has that been like for you? What has your relationship with God been like, and how has that influenced you moving forward and feeling inspired to do all of this?
Right. I would say before, you know, because I did grow up going to church here and there. Like my grandfather was actually a pastor, and, you know, I ran away from that for a long time. You know, being in the music industry, you see so many things, especially at a young age. Like, you know, we got signed at like 16. So, you know, we seen a lot of debauchery. You know, I seen the other side, a lot of the other side. So drugs, alcohol, you know, women, all those different types of things. But finding God, you know, and really building a relationship with God is what changed my life. You know, it's not just saying like, oh, you know, I accept you, Jesus. Like that's a start, but it's really building a relationship with him and allowing him to come in and change your life and your heart and your mind. Right. That's what it started with. So, yeah, absolutely.
That's beautiful, man. And that's a really wise thing that you just said, because you have so many people who come out and they say, oh, I'm Christian, or I believe this. And it's like, you know, how much of a Christian can you really be when you are not living by, or at least trying, because we all sin, obviously, but you are not trying to live by the tenets of your
faith. Well, it's God that cleans us up. You know, when we try to do it on our own, then that's when we fail.
Right.
We have to let him come in and clean those things, those unclean things that are in our life.
Right.
Amazing. Corey, how can people support the work that you're doing? Because I know it's really important. We're constantly battling with censorship and people who hate on us on a daily basis. How can people support you and find you?
Right. Corey Yeshua, K-O-R-Y, Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A. On pretty much everything, on YouTube, on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Cool. Thank you for being on and sharing
the
message.
Thank you guys for having me. This has been so awesome.
Like, first and last podcast. Let's go.
First and last. I'm out of here. I'm done.
Done for. Canceled. Gone. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. I've been following Corey for a really long time. Ever since I started on TikTok, he was one of the first conservatives who I ever saw on the platform.
What a great guy.
What a great guy. We always come out of our interviews like, what a great guy. You can always count on us to say that. Now,
he's a true American. He's a patriot.
He really is.
A patriot. I urge all of you guys to follow him and the things that he's doing.
Now we're going to talk about a crazy story that is developing. You saw us talk about the Oxford High School shooting out of Michigan that happened earlier this week. And now, we talked about when the story first happened that the prosecutor was considering bringing charges against the parents in this case. She's now made her decision on this matter, and she is going to be bringing charges against the parents. The charges are involuntary manslaughter, four charges for both of these parents. Now, what's happened is the parents are, quote unquote, nowhere to be found. A lot of media outlets are saying they're on the run. However, the attorneys for these parents have come out and said, no, they are not on the run. They simply left town for their own safety, and they will return to be arraigned for this. But so Jennifer and James, who are the parents of Ethan Crumley, the young 15-year-old who committed this shooting earlier this week, actually purchased this gun for him, this firearm, for their 15-year-old on Black Friday, gave it to him as a Christmas present. We know this now because Jennifer Crumley, the mother in this case, was posting pictures of Ethan shooting this gun and having this gun and saying, you know, what a great Christmas present I bought for my son. Now, on the day of the shooting, the parents were brought in with concerns about Ethan's behavior, particularly some pictures that he had drawn of a gun, of people bleeding, pictures that stipulated that he was looking for help, that he couldn't put away certain thoughts that he had in his mind. And when the parents were given this information, they did not take him out of school that day. And now 30 minutes after the shooting had occurred on the high school campus, Ethan, the young boy in this case, received a text message from his mother, Jennifer, saying, Ethan, comma, don't do it. And his father called 911 and said that his 9mm Sig Sauer was missing and that he believed that his son was the shooter.
Yeah, I mean, I said this on Monday. I said this, was it Monday or Tuesday when this happened?
Tuesday, when we talked about it.
I said this on Tuesday, that the case reeked of parental neglect, mm-hmm. and that there was going to be something done against the parents. I made that exact same point, and now here we are, that something is being brought against the parents, and more information has come out, and it seems very true. You know, this makes a lot of sense. It seems to me that this is a good thing that the parents are going to be charged with this. Again, we'll see what happens in the court. We're going to say allegedly to all these kinds of things, yep. that is coming out. But if what they're saying is true, then it is a good thing. Just like I said before, I mean, truly, it is a good thing. You have a responsibility over your child.
Yeah. I will be curious to see how long ago they became aware of his actions, because so far I've only seen stories saying that the parents were notified the day before the shooting and the morning of the shooting when they refused to take Ethan out of school. So I'll be curious to know if they knew about these behavioral issues and about these sort of violent tendencies that he had before they purchased him the firearm. Because again, this was not just a firearm that the father had purchased for his own protection or for the household protection. It seems through the social media posts that we've seen so far that this gun was bought specifically for their 15-year-old son.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Yeah.
And that's pretty, if you knew that this was going on, I mean, I can't even imagine that you had no idea that this mm-hmm. was going on mm-hmm. or something of the ilk was a little bit fishy at least. And then you buy him a gun. I mean, yeah. That seems pretty bad.
I mean, it's hard to tell. It's like you look at There's a TED talk of the mother of the Columbine shooter talking about her relationship with her son and her sort of blindness when it came to his mental illness and his intentions when it came to what he did with his friend at Columbine. And I always want to, you know, give grace and think, okay, there's definitely a possibility you didn't know that this was happening. But it seems as though Ethan was sort of vocal on social media about it. He was drawing pictures, talking about, you know, stamping out his thoughts. He needed help. This seems like there was attempts made, at least, you know, through the mind of a 15-year-old to sort of scream for help.
And Black Friday, you have the day off of school. I'm assuming pretty much everyone has a day off of school. Mm-hmm. And that girl on Monday said, I am not going to come to school this day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So obviously the fact that she wasn't going to come to school, that one student said, I think something might happen. Obviously, these students and other people have known beforehand that this is happening. So you have to imagine that the parents would have known something too.
It seems as though, from what I'm hearing, again, this is all allegedly, and I don't have the direct quote here. It seems as though Ethan had made a post on his social media either the day before or the morning of the shooting saying something about, I'm forgetting the direct quote, so this will definitely be a misquote, but something about him becoming death, him becoming this sort of personification of death. And he said something along the lines of, see you later, Oxford. And I think kids saw that and thought, okay, I'm not going to go to school today.
Got it.
Yeah. Which, who knows what happened here. I'm going to be really interested to see how this plays out, see what happens with these involuntary manslaughter charges on the parents. I have a feeling they are going to be convicted and found guilty.
Regardless, what I say in almost every single one of my speeches that I talk about is that parents need to be more involved in their children's lives. That's not just for, you know, identifying if your child is a potential school shooter. That is just for everything in terms mm-hmm. of their mental health, in terms of what they are learning at school, in terms of their faith, in terms of them being responsible growing adults. I mean, all of these things. Parents need to have a greater play in their children's lives. A lot of this of society's ills would be cured if parents had a greater say in their children's lives. But so yep. many of them just relay that responsibility over to the school or to a nanny or something like that. And then don't actually take the time at, let's say, a family dinner or mm-hmm. when you have off time with your children to actually talk with them and teach them good values. I mean, there is so much that parents have to do. There's a lot that parents have to do. You know, luckily yeah. my mom was great at this. She was fantastic at this and was very active in my life growing up. And by active, I mean she was very strict with me. And because of that, you know, I think I turned out okay.
But, yeah. yeah. Parents aren't doing that now. What was it? The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics says that the average American family, parents spend less than an hour having meaningful time and conversation with their children every single day.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
That's insane with how many hours that there are in the day, that children are essentially being raised by other people and by social media and by TV. And parents have no awareness of what's going on in their brains, how their mental health is, how they're doing physically, anything.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's got to be more. There's got to be more responsibility by the parents.
Yeah, this is definitely a warning sign to parents.
Yeah.
100%. We're going to get into another story that involves a shooting, unfortunately. And this is surrounding Alec Baldwin. We all know what happened on the set of Rust, that a woman by the name of Helena Hutchins was shot and killed while shooting on the set of Rust. She was working behind the scenes of this. Now, after this happened, everybody immediately jumped on the internet, started talking about Alec Baldwin, pulling up his old tweets, blaming him, whatever. People were throwing darts left and right. We chose not to do that, and I think that's the rightful decision on our part. Now we have Alec Baldwin going live in front of the American people with ABC, specifically with George Stephanopoulos, talking about his side of the story. Let's watch this first, and then we will get into some of the criticism around this.
We kept doing this, and it was so then I said to her, now in this scene, I'm going to cock the gun. And I said, do you want to see that? And she said, yes. So I take the gun and I start to cock the gun. I'm not going to pull the trigger. I said, do you see that? She goes, well, just cheat it down and tilt it down a little bit like that. And I cock the gun. I go, can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? And she says, and then I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off. I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off.
At the moment, the decisive moment.
That was the moment the gun went off, yeah. That was the moment the gun went off.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger?
No, 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 no. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them. Never. Never. That was the training that I had. You don't point a gun at me and pull the trigger. On day one of my instruction in this business, people said to me, never take a gun and go click, 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 because even though it's incremental, you damage the firing pin on the gun if you do that. Don't do that.
And Hall's attorney...
We're going to pause there. Okay, so that was his account of the story. They do say that there was another man in the room when the shooting occurred who has also testified or put testimony forward that says that Alec Baldwin never put his finger on a trigger when this incident occurred. So that's the story that he is sticking to and has gone public with. Now, several actors have come out against Alec Baldwin, claiming that he is A, lying about the situation, or B, was still practicing a significant amount of negligence when it came to carrying this gun on set. Now, we realize it was not a fake bullet in the gun. It was a real bullet in the gun. And while Helena Hitchens was directing Alec Baldwin on how to hold this gun and when to fire it, she was subsequently shot. Now, John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard has come out and called complete BS on Alec Baldwin, saying he's a flat out liar, that there's no way this gun would have gone off without you putting your finger on the trigger and pulling the trigger.
Yeah, I'm no gun expert. Mm-hmm. I will leave that to the gun experts to talk right. about these kinds of things when it comes to how you put together a gun and all that. But it's hard to imagine that with a gun that's supposedly a prop gun that you pull mm-hmm. back the what did he say he pulled back?
The hammer on the gun.
Pulled back the hammer on the gun. It goes off. I mean, that... I don't know. It seems... Listen, again, I'm not a gun expert. There's probably yep. going to be someone in the comments who says, like, oh, that could totally happen. Maybe that's true. I don't know. But yeah. for me, at least someone with some sort of common sense, I feel like... Sounds very strange.
It does sound very strange. And it sounds like there was a lot of negligence exercised on this set. Alec Baldwin claims he had no prior knowledge of two misfirings that happened previous to this shooting. In the days prior to this shooting, there was two misfires of weapons on the set of Rust, and he claims he had no idea of that. On the day of the shooting, they had several union members quit working on the set due to lack of proper hotel stays and sheltering for them, and due to the conditions on the set. Now, John Schneider, the guy from Dukes of Hazzard, has come out and said, quote, 3 weeks ago it was a prop gun. 4 weeks ago, nobody knew how in the world this real weapon was loaded on the set. Today, he didn't pull the trigger, calling complete BS on him. Another actor who came out after this incident was George Clooney, saying regardless of whether or not this was a prop gun, a real gun, a fake bullet, a real bullet, any actor should know to check the gun before you even start using it or start mock using it. You should always check the gun and see if it's loaded. He said he's never done anything other than that. When questioned about it, Alec Baldwin said, well, that's not what I've done as an actor. That was his response. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And George Stephanopoulos with these softball questions.
Yeah.
I mean, not even asking him anything that's hard. I mean, again, the media is supposed to be the accountability arm of the elites in this country. That is what they are supposed to do. But obviously they're not. George Stephanopoulos is just going to go so easy on him
yep.
and let him just say whatever he wants and not even dig a little bit, like not even question. Why not?
Yeah. This was like a over 30 minute interview. You guys can go and watch it. It is on ABC News on YouTube. But it seems I have no clue what happened. Nobody will ever know what happened except the people in the room. And if they've all decided to back Alec Baldwin, or if this simply is the truth and the gun misfired and Alec didn't pull the trigger, I'm sure we will never know, because the only person who really would know has unfortunately passed away. So I don't know. It sounds fishy, but... we'll never know.
All I know is that I've shot a lot of guns before. Mm-hmm. I've shot pistols, I've shot rifles, shotguns, I shot a 50 cal. I mean, I've shot all sorts of different things, right? And the number one rule, it doesn't matter if I've been shooting with guys who are experts or I know what I'm doing. Every time it is, you know, practice the gun safety. Always point it down the range. Always, you know, make sure that it's not loaded before you give it to someone else. All these different things. You know, there are so many things with gun safety that you have to do because it is so dangerous. And to just throw those things away, why is a Hollywood celebrity getting off so easy like this?
Yeah.
You know, this is the way that the media treats Hollywood. This is how they treat these people when they do something wrong. There's no accountability. But God forbid, if a conservative were to do something wrong, I mean, they would just be torn to shreds every single place. But because he's on the right political side and he said guns are wrong before, it's totally fine. They're going to totally let him get away with it.
Yeah, I think this is just going to blow over and nobody's ever going to talk about it again.
Yeah.
Oh, unfortunately.
I remember.
We remember.
Yeah, we know.
Thou shalt not forget that this happened. Now, speaking of things just really blowing over and nobody talking about them, we did a story a while ago now about the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, you know, perpetrated by the man, Daryl Brooks, who was a career criminal, had several run-ins with both law enforcement, the court system, and the jailing system here in America, but somehow was let back onto the street on $1,000 bail after hitting a woman with his car, and again subsequently got in an SUV and ran over people and killed them in a Christmas parade. Now, what has come out in this case that is really interesting, and I'm hoping to see some accountability on this, is that new documents, this is according to Jack Posobiec, new documents show Daryl Brooks was assessed a 6 out of 6 risk to the public, but the DA let him out anyway due to bail reform and criminal justice policies. Here's the court documents here from the DA. You can see that little black square that marks him a 6 out of 6 when it comes to a risk assessment, evaluating whether or not he poses risk to his community and the people around him. How did this man get back on the street? How, you ask? Well, because of bail reform and criminal justice policies that protect people like this.
Your virtue signaling, leftist politicians who put things like this into order, your virtue signaling is killing people.
Yep.
You understand that now? The blood is literally on your hands for the things that you have done, for these types of policies. The blood is on your hands for letting this guy out, for having low bail, and for having it so that all this criminal justice reform and an act to be so virtuous and not be racist. He went and killed all of those people and injured tons and tons of others.
Yep.
Because of your policies. The blood is on your hands, leftist politicians. You have done this. You have wrought this evil upon your cities because of you trying to be morally superior to everyone else, and because your woke ideology trumps people's safety.
Yeah,
and that is disgusting and evil.
It begs for reform. It really does. This is not okay. And again, it seems just like the Oxford High shooting, 100% preventable. Preventable, preventable, preventable. And because it wasn't prevented, there needs to be accountability. Somebody needs to take the blame for this. The DA in this case should step down because he looked at these court documents. He saw the risk assessment on this man. And he allowed him to go free. You should be fired. You have not done your job properly.
Yeah. I mean, if this was a good country, I mean, this DA wouldn't just be fired. This DA would be brought to justice. Yep.
Absolutely.
That's if we lived in a sane country, but we don't live in a sane country. We live in an insane country.
Insane. Mm-hmm. In the membrane, mm-hmm. Some might say.
Some might say.
Some might say. Now, one more story here, and this one's actually positive. We've done a lot of negative on the show today, on Will and Alma Live today, but this one is positive, and it's a win that ties back to critical race theory in the public schooling system, an ongoing battle that we cannot forget about, even though we are juggling 10,000 issues at once. Here is the story. Our beloved Christopher Rufo has put this out for us. Winning, the Wisconsin State Legislature has passed a bill for full curriculum transparency in public schools. The legislation would give parents the fundamental right to know what's being taught to their children. It will now go to the governor. The parent movement has begun.
It's to the Fantastic. Governor of Wisconsin. If I remember correctly, the governor of Wisconsin is pretty far left. I could be wrong. You might want to look this up.
I will look this up as you are.
Please tell me.
As you are talking. Yes, Tony Evers.
Right, right. Okay, so I'm pretty sure that this guy has, because I was talking actually to someone on my book tour. It was a girl, and she was from Madison, and she now lived in Florida. And she was telling me about how since this new governor took place, I mean, the state has just gotten completely worse. For any of you guys who live in Wisconsin, comment down below or comment right now if you're watching and tell me what you think about this guy and the things going on. But it's hard to know if this is actually going to go through with the governor and happen.
But I think what's cool here and what's important, and I think what is going to possibly push this through, is the word curriculum transparency. They're not specifically coming out after DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. They're not specifically coming out over CRT, critical race theory. They are simply saying, I want my children's curriculum to be transparent. I want to be able to know what my kid is being taught. Now, I can't see a Democrat or a Republican looking at a bill that proposes transparency and shouting and shooting that down. You're going to instigate thousands of questions from your constituents on both sides about why you would not want student curriculum to be fully transparent. The wording is very strong.
Yeah, I mean, I would see why they could do it. I have no doubts they would.
Right.
Or anything.
But it looks it's a little bit, you know, if you come out and you say, you know what, as a governor, I'm not going to ban critical race theory, a lot of people would cheer you on. But if you come out and say, as a governor, I'm not going to push for transparency, that's a far worse look. So I think the wording here is particularly clever.
It is clever, which is good. So that's a win for the conservatives doing something strong. You know, if only our guys on Capitol Hill could do something like that, maybe we'd have a better country, but we'll see.
We shall see. Now, guys, it is Fun Friday. And for today's Fun Friday, we thought we'd do just a short little segment that we used to do on the show called Overrated, Underrated. You guys submitted random things, songs, foods, albums, books, movies to my Instagram at The Amal Epinobi. You can also follow Will at The Will Witt. Taylor's not here today, but at Taylor Trandall, you can follow him as well. And you guys submitted your Overrated, Underrated suggestions. I took a few of them, about seven or so. And Will and I are going to discuss whether or not these are overrated or underrated. First one, fries dipped in milkshakes.
I am ready to give you guys the facts.
Okay. Yes. Only facts.
Yes.
Only
fries
facts.
Dipped in milkshake.
Overrated or underrated?
It's unnecessary.
So overrated.
I suppose.
Yes.
But I have no hate if you guys want to do that.
And you guys can vote down in the comments below. What do you think it is? Overrated or underrated?
Yeah. I have no quarrel with someone who would like to do such a thing, but I myself will not be partaking.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You know, I'm all for your right to dip your fries in your milkshake. I'm not gonna, you know.
Maybe get a little authoritarian here. No, it's banned. Yeah.
It's banned. No, I'm not gonna, you know, infringe upon your right to put your fries in your milkshake, but I will not be partaking.
Isn't that what the First Amendment's all about?
Your body, your choice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so we're both going overrated on that one. Yeah, that's not a hobby of mine. I used to do it when I was a kid, but not anymore.
I never did as a kid. Okay. I had my Frosty and then I had my fries.
Okay, well, second one here. Overrated, underrated. The Santa Claus.
Haven't seen it
in so long. The popular holiday movie.
I literally
just watched this yesterday.
Oh, so that's why you put it on.
Well, it was suggested by a watcher.
Oh, okay.
But also I put it on because I just watched it yesterday.
I believe it's very good, if I can remember correctly.
Yes.
The Santa Claus.
Totally underrated. Yeah. Everybody loves it, but still underrated.
Okay.
People don't love it enough.
Yeah. Maybe I need to give it another watch or something.
Also, pretty sure Tim Allen's based. So extra points for based actors.
Tim Allen is great.
Yeah. Okay. So extra points for based actors. The movie is super cute. The premise is super cute. I've been watching it since I was a child, and I watch it every year without fail alongside Home Alone. So, yeah. Underrated. Next. Overrated, underrated, In-N-Out Burger. You had this for lunch today.
I did have it for lunch today.
So,
went for
tread lightly.
Drive-thru at 10:30 in the morning. I would say, well, it's not really underrated because everybody loves it, but it's not overrated because it's really good.
And cheap. As far as LA food goes.
Now, I have a doggy patty waiting in my car for Rocky.
There you go. I'm going to go underrated because you can't fence it. You have to pick one.
All right, fine. Underrated then.
Underrated, yeah. In-N-Out Burger, for those of you who can't have it because, sorry. It's the only thing we have going for us in California.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Texas has In-N-Out Burger too.
Yeah. And In-N-Out Burger is like super based in California. They're not asking for people's vaccine cards at their restaurants, which is super cool, even though they're going to start, I'm assuming, amassing fines from the health organizations here and the inspectors. But they are not asking people for their vaccine cards. So extra points, totally underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Next, overrated, underrated, Drake.
So Drake was actually in my top five artists of the year.
Oh.
And I didn't even realize it because I feel like I don't listen to that much Drake. But I guess in like my big playlists, I have Drake in there at a substantial amount. So then when I'm listening to those large playlists,
right,
a Drake song will come up more than other artists. So he goes into my top artists.
Big fan of Aubrey, are you?
I'm a big fan of Aubrey.
Yeah.
My old Jewish mother.
So is he overrated or underrated, Will?
I mean, he's neither.
I think he's overrated. Hardcore.
I mean, I guess you gotta say overrated, but I also do not mind much of Drake's songs and music.
I don't dislike it. I don't love it, but everybody seems to bow down to Drake. So I'm gonna go.
My sister is like the biggest Drake fan.
In the world.
She loves Drake.
Sorry, Will's sister, but
it's okay.
He's overrated. Next.
I tend to agree.
Queen, a different music artist, overrated or underrated?
Queen is, it's again, these are hard to do overrated, underrated. I'm just like, they're just, I'll just give you my opinion on
them. What is your opinion? This is opinion based.
I like Queen. I think Queen is incredibly talented. Mm-hmm. I think they're a great band. One of the best bands of all time.
Yeah.
They're not personally one of my favorite bands ever. I have a lot of other bands, especially hard rock bands, that I like a lot more. But I think that Queen, Freddie Mercury, and the other guys in Queen are incredibly talented. You know, very, very good songwriting and lyricism that makes you think, and experimentalism. I mean, they're a great band.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think they shifted the way that people view music, the way that people perform, like the persona of just like being an artist and being a rock star. I'm going to go Queen is underrated. Even though I think that pretty much, there's pretty much consensus that people love Queen.
One of the best-selling bands of all
time. So I'm still going to go underrated just because I feel like, you know, they're not overrated.
Yeah. What's your favorite Queen song?
What is the one where he's like, 200 degrees, that's why they call me Mr. Fahrenheit.
I'm gonna make a supersonic man out of you.
Yeah.
I'm having a man for
No, that's
time.
Not my favorite one.
I'm having a ball.
Okay, hold on. I gotta remember the title of this. It's really difficult while you sing a different song.
Somebody to Love?
No.
Bohemian Rhapsody?
No.
Another One Bites the Dust?
No.
We Will Rock You?
No.
We Are the Champions?
No, but those are all great too.
I already know my favorite.
She is the Moet of Shanda in her hand again. Let them eat cake. She says, like Marie Antoinette.
Is it Radio Gaga?
No. Built in a remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy and any time.
Oh.
Don't Stop Me Now.
That's not Don't Stop Me
no,
Now.
I know which one you're talking
Guys,
about.
Guys, put it in the comments down below
what
because now I'm racking my brain. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's I'm not You're My Best Friend.
No.
What is it?
Killer Queen.
Yeah,
that's
Killer
what
Queen.
It is. My goodness. Yeah. I think that's their best song.
My favorite song is Fat Bottom Girls. I love that
song.
A good
that's
one. By far my,
that's a unique one. That really is a unique
I
one.
I love that song. That song's like, get on your bikes and ride. And it's just hard. I love that. I like the harder rock songs by Queen. Not so much the I don't know, the more opera sounding ones like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Killer Queen is just like, it's a whole different vibe from their other music. And I listen to it, and I'm just like, this is amazing. This is and the cadence
band.
Of the words and how poetic and like the way that he uses syllables and it's just amazing. Just amazing. Okay, anyways, overrated, gross. Underrated, bowling.
Oh, underrated. I love bowling. I am
overrated.
What do you mean overrated?
100% overrated.
Bowling is a great game.
I don't like it. You spend like 75% of the time sitting. Eating like
no, I do hate the sitting. The sitting. Let's not talk about the activity.
No,
of going
we're talking
bowling.
About the whole experience because you can't have bowling without the extended experience
of
bowling.
All right, so imagine you went bowling by yourself.
Why would I go bowling by myself?
Because it's so fun.
That's super lame.
No, it's
sorry
fun.
For all you bowlers out there. If you're like pro bowler, like you're on a bowling team, totally get it. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, going bowling by yourself is just a little strange.
Why?
So I'm going to function with the assumption that I'm bowling like I normally bowl, which is with a group of people.
Because people go like golfing by themselves, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So, like, some people do.
You know? So it's like going
But most
bowling.
People don't.
No, a lot of people go golfing
Most
by themselves.
People do not go bowling by themselves, Will.
I'm
Can
not
we
saying
agree
that
on
they
that?
Do.
Can
I'm
we
saying
agree?
They should. Because it's a wonderful experience.
You
I love
spend
bowling.
75% of the time sitting. And mm-hmm. then when you eat, it's like frozen Purdue and Tyson chicken tenders.
Yeah, that's not good. That is very bad. I don't
that
I do
is
not like
very
the,
bad
but you are only talking about things that aren't bowling themselves.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the because you have to look at the experience in its entirety, in its totality, and that's involved in bowling. I know if I'm going bowling, I'm also signing up for Tyson chicken nuggets and 75% sitting.
I don't know, that's like talking about is Queen overrated, underrated, and talking about like if the headphones that you're listening
no,
to are good enough quality.
No, that is not the same thing. Because if you know you're getting Queen, you're just getting Queen. And if it's in a group setting, that's all you're getting is the music. And bowling, I get stuff I didn't sign up for.
I am actually very bad at bowling. I am not good. It's one thing I would love to get better at, but I am very not good at bowling. But it's fun to
I'm
not
be good,
good
at it either. I'm like, all right, you
yeah,
know?
I mean, I'm not like terrible. I still beat, you know, most of the girls.
If I get over 100, I'm like, oh my God, great day.
Yeah. Get a turkey.
Like, this is great. Okay, next one. Overrated, underrated, peppermint flavored drinks and food, because it is that time of year. Totally overrated.
Yeah, disgusting.
Super gross.
Yeah, I hate them all.
Super gross.
Anyone who likes this stuff, I don't get it.
Do you eat mint chocolate chip ice cream?
No.
Okay.
Chocolate.
Just had to confirm. I would have to shoot you on site if you said yes.
That's a little harsh. I would hope you wouldn't do that.
Well, one can hope.
I should at least send me to the gulag first.
I will. Yeah, I'll send you to the gulag first.
Okay.
A little bit of suffering before the end.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I could do
the dog you're about to euthanize. You go out and do your favorite things for the day, and then I just, you know?
At least give me my favorite meal.
I'll get you a dog patty from In-N-Out.
I would love a doggy patty. Yeah, I do not like those.
Yeah, it's like eating toothpaste.
Well, I don't know about that.
It really is.
It's toothpaste.
My toothpaste is peppermint. Is your toothpaste peppermint flavored?
I think it's like, I don't know, mint something. I don't know.
Well, mine is
something like very strange.
Mine is peppermint. So then they're like, oh, do you want a peppermint milkshake? No, Jessica, I don't want a peppermint milkshake. It's so gross.
Who's Jessica?
I don't know. I just thought of a name.
Is that the woman who works at Starbucks?
I guess so. Sorry to all the Jessicas out there.
Yeah, sorry.
But no, Jessica, I don't want the peppermint. I don't want minty milkshakes.
Yeah, I don't like anything mint flavored, really.
Yeah. So anyways, guys, that's overrated, underrated.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're getting questions in the comments asking what our thoughts are on billiards, a.k.a. the old pool, the old ball and stick.
Mm-hmm. Is that what they say?
Yeah, that's what I say. Yeah. So that's what they say.
Let's go play some ball and stick, Scott. I'd love to play
some ball and stick. I like pool. Now, pool, I mess with. I like pool.
I love pool. When I was in high school, and basically anytime I go back to Colorado for breaks, there's this pool bar that we go to. It's like a hookah lounge pool bar. I don't smoke hookah. I think hookah's for women. But we would always go play pool, and I loved playing pool. I said I was bad at bowling. I'm actually very good at pool.
He's good at pool. Taylor's good at pool. I'm good at pool. Although Will's going to say she's not good at pool, but I am good at pool.
I challenged you.
And I almost beat you.
No, I said I challenged you. I said, come to this pool bar with me right now.
The drama. And I was like, I don't want to go right now. I want to go home.
Yeah, no. I gave her every opportunity to prove that she was good at pool.
Okay, guys, I'm going to correct the record right now since Will is in the business of misinformation, okay? Will said, if you're going to challenge me in pool, or if I'm going to challenge you in pool, you have to play right now at a place of my choice. And I said, excuse me, sir, I just worked all day, I'm going home. That's what happened.
It was a place 30 seconds down the street. You walk
and
in,
I said, I'm going home.
One game.
You guys did not want to play game.
I guess I have that competitive attitude.
Yes, he
where
does.
I'm like, I want to go, I'll go right now.
And I'm a woman and I don't.
Sad.
So sad. We will keep you guys posted. I will play Will and pool. I will win. Not Will Witt. Will win right here.
Mm-hmm.
You're Will Witt. I'm Will Win.
Mm-hmm. You're Will Lose.
Anyways, guys, we will keep you posted when that happens. And I will let you know just exactly who won in our billiards. Oof, that sounds so fancy. In our billiards match. Okay.
It is very fancy.
It is very fancy.
I appreciate you guys watching all week. Thank you.
Yes.
Remember that if you want to get more stuff about what I'm doing too, because not everything that I want to say I can say on here, go to my Substack, thewillwit.substack.com. That's basically like a blog. The link is also down below in the description. That's my blog. Doing daily or so updates, sending you guys things that they don't want you to know, and my daily musings. So go subscribe to that. It's free, not paid or anything. So go subscribe to my blog, thewillwit.substack.com.
Thank you guys for watching. We will see you on Monday at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. And if you want to listen to us anytime over the weekend, you can go to Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts and check out all the episodes from this week and times prior. See you guys on Monday.